Our book critic, Maureen Carrigan, has put together a list of nonfiction books she recommends for summer reading. Waterfalls, Wizards, Boys with Red Wagons, and Knights in White Satin jostle for attention on the list. Here's her recommendations.
When I was a kid, family vacations took place in the dead of winter, not summer. My dad was a refrigeration mechanic. His job was to maintain those huge air conditioning units you see on the roofs of tall office buildings. Naturally, summer was his busy time, so it was in that holiday week between Christmas and New Year's that he, my mom, and I would pile into our Rambler Classic and go off on a road trip. Washington, D.C., Williamsburg, Virginia, Mystic, Connecticut, and Niagara Falls. I remember tramping around all those places on overcast, icy days. And now Ginger Strand's new book casts another pall over my childhood vacation memories. One of the facts about Niagara Falls that Strand highlights in her idiosyncratic cultural history called Inventing Niagara is that since 1950, the volume of water that tumbles over the falls roughly doubles during the summer tourist season, from about 50,000 cubic feet of water per second to 100,000 cubic feet per second. During the blah winter season, Canada and the U.S. divert water from the falls as a source of hydroelectric power. So the falls I dutifully stared at on a winter's day were a falls with the faucet turned halfway shut. Strand's book is a kick, illuminating and inflected with her wry voice. A self-proclaimed hydro geek, Strand says that she became obsessed with Niagara Falls because it's a monument to the way America falsifies its relationship to nature. If you just think of Niagara as a Viagra-enhanced has-been honeymoon destination, Inventing Niagara will alert you to the torrent of other meanings Americans have poured onto the spot. I don't remember spending a lot of time looking at the passing scenery on those long-ago vacation car rides. My head was usually buried in a Nancy Drew mystery. If you want to revisit some beloved books of childhood and learn a lot about the history of children's literature in America, Minders of Make-Believe is the substantive tome to dip into. Written by Leonard S. Marcus, who's a prominent scholar of children's lit, Minders of Make-Believe takes readers from the first children's book to originate in the New World, the New England Primer of 1689, up to the Harry Potter phenomenon. Throughout, Marcus traces the tussle that's been going on for over three centuries over whether tykes and teens should be reading books primarily for entertainment or for erudition. While we're on the subject of children's lit, I've just got to wedge one fiction recommendation into this nonfiction roundup. HarperCollins has just reprinted Don Robertson's 1965 young adult novel, The Greatest Thing Since Sliced Bread. That it is. The multi-layered story is set in 1944 when a nine-year-old named Morris Byrd III decides to walk across Cleveland pulling his little sister in a wagon. Morris wants to find his old friend, Stanley Chalupka, who's moved across town. Unfortunately, it's the day of the East Ohio gas explosions, an actual disaster that killed 130 people and destroyed 1 square mile of Cleveland. Both the disaster and its chronicler, Don Robertson, have faded from memory. But with the boost of this reprint featuring wise child Morris, who worships both Veronica Lake and FDR, a whole host of new readers will be ushered back into this lost world. For a generation of kids who came of age in the 1960s and 70s, summer memories are suffused with the tinny sound of rock and roll playing on transistor radios. In her eccentric new memoir, The Importance of Music to Girls, British writer Lavinia Greenlaw writes about the way music, especially rock, propelled her into her first experience of puppy love with Donny Osmond, and later Clash and Banshee-inspired punk rebellions. Greenlaw is gifted with a sharp eye for the deeper significance of the ephemeral. Here, for instance, is how she describes a street scene of her youth. To be a teenager in 1970 was to suffer an excess of gravity. I watched them move slowly along Camden High Street, boys and girls alike with faces half closed behind long center-parted hair. The shape their clothes made was that of something being pulled down into the earth. Scoop-neck tops and flared ankle-length skirts and trousers made of cumbersome corduroy. Their colors were vegetal, umber, ochre, aubergine, mushroom, sage. They looked damp. Boy, does that paragraph bring back the teenage glums of the 1970s. Whether you're traveling this summer, or as my family once did, you find yourself stuck in place, any of these provocative books offer a lot to think about and maybe dredge up a few things you'd rather forget.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. Sometime this summer, she'll do a roundup of biographies and books of narrative history.